Spoilers and Fandom is like a book club for geeky stuff.
Join us as we delve into the depths of our backlogs and sift through the games, comics, shows, movies, and books that we haven't checked out yet.
Hey guys, so we're on to the spoiler section now of Doomsday Clock.
Jesus.
And again, if you are planning on reading this book and you haven't read it, now's your chance. Don't listen to this episode. Go read it and come back. Or go watch the summary. Or if you just literally don't care and you want to know details about the book and what we thought about it, then yeah, here you are.
Here you are.
So spoiler section starts now. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
when do you want to start?
So the part that I didn't like in this book is Batman decides to lock Rorschach up, and that was the most stupid thing I have ever seen Batman do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually trying to think of a point where Batman has been more dumb. Adam West Batman.
But he was
moments, but
he was fun.
It was a different kind of show.
Yeah. It was a different
Like, you know, you'd think after coming out of the Court of Owls, he wouldn't be a dumbass.
Then
and after Death in the Family, he wouldn't be a dumbass.
Even just, not like, even those storylines only, like, Batman should know better.
It's so, like, it's so obvious that he should know better. Like, so this was that point where
you were like, this is why I don't
read DC. This is why I don't read DC. This is literally, like, when that happened, it was like issue 3 or something. I'm like, that is the dumbest thing. And Batman fans, I know you guys are listening. You will argue that, you know, he's being safe, he's being cautious. No.
No, he's not.
This book has happened after Court of Owls. It has happened after Death in the Family. It has happened way...
Even after Final Crisis.
After a lot of other events. He should know better. Mm. Like, how are you going to let a guy stay at your house, have Alfred... give him pancakes, you give him clothes, a shower, and he stayed the night at your place. The next day, you lock him in Arkham. This is the point where I thought, this is dumb. What I literally thought that it would be the same story as JLA.
Mm-hmm.
Because it felt very much like a crossover book, like I mentioned
before
in the non-spoiler episode where we were talking about this. It really did read like JLA a lot.
Mm.
Except it wasn't as stupid
in
terms of how character until this happened.
Until then, yeah.
Until that happened. And I was like, wow. and they canonize this as Batman, according to Adrian. He thinks that Batman is the second smartest person in the world.
Yeah. That kind of proves it.
I feel like stupider people would have known better.
Well, yes.
And yeah, I do agree that Lex is a lot smarter than Batman. But I would say that, like, who are the other smart guys in the DC universe?
Most of them would end up being not the scientists, like the Flashes.
Who controlled the Watchtower? There was Mr. Terrific?
There's Mr. Terrific. You could have even... Martian Manhunter in that story, any of the Flashes except Wally West.
I mean, who else is smart?
Even Cyborg is smart.
Yeah, like, but Batman?
Smarter than Batman? No, but all of them would not have made the same decision. None of them would have made that decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like so that really.
Even Joker wouldn't have made that decision.
Well, who knows?
Look at what he did with
the Joker. Useless, though, in this book.
He was, yeah.
Why was he? What did he even do? Like the Joker feels like completely wasted. He didn't do anything.
Yeah, he really didn't do anything.
Just unless, he was there, and he made like a cover
Yeah, he made a cover.
And he made two covers, actually. There's one variant cover with Rorschach, like, hitting him, which doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah, which it doesn't.
In the books.
No, he does. No, I thought he beats... I thought Joker gets beaten by Rorschach.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't remember it then. So it wasn't very significant compared to the way it looked on the cover.
It was basically that, but nothing much bigger than that.
Yeah. And again, what... Again, that moment where mm-hmm. where guys, like the comedian shows up.
Mm-hmm.
He starts killing B-list villains.
Yeah. Like he shoots, he blows out.
Basically, he will shoot, just this really pisses me off so much. He will shoot a villain called Typhoon.
In the face.
In the head. And that guy is dead. You will not see him again. But then... For whatever reason, an A-list villain like Riddler, he will get Lex. A kneecap.
Even Lex. He got Lex in the chest. Okay, he got Lex in the side.
Yeah, and, yeah. And Lex was killed. But he was aiming for Adrian, though.
Yeah.
But still, like, this stuff, like, let's make a crossover book. It really felt like you're not allowed to touch these characters. These side characters you can kill.
Yeah, the ones that we've made for you.
I hate that. It's so transparently bullshit. I really don't like seeing that.
No, because you know you've subtracted all the stakes from the story at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you've made it just feel like a very cheap crossover.
Yeah.
And that is not how this book ends up.
Yeah.
So this was my growing pains at the start of this book, really.
But
it did
back?
Change. As the story kept going,
mm-hmm.
I was really angry with the detective stuff that kept showing up.
Mm-hmm.
The detective show that is going on constantly.
Nathaniel Dusk.
Until it starts slowly piecing something together.
Yeah.
And the payoff. Like, basically, I think it's the last six issues.
Mm-hmm.
It just became better writing as well.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't so much about Rorschach's monologuing.
And Batman's shenanigans.
Batman barely did anything. He was just there in the third issue. And Batman does nothing in this book.
The thing that pissed me off with Batman was...
Oh, well, he stops a nuclear thing.
Yeah.
By punching a guy and then leaving.
The thing that annoyed me the most with him was...
Yeah.
They do the classic Batman thing where... Oh, Batman discovers something. Oh, Batman is in trouble. Oh, he's been captured by the bad guys. Oh, he just breaks out.
It's very tropey.
He breaks out for no reason. Dude was tied to a wheelchair by the Joker in chains.
Yeah.
Dude breaks out of those. Somehow, off screen, he just appears again. Fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh. This is why I stopped reading Batman comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I really loved... watching what's his name? Ozymandias.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved watching him trying to justify himself.
He's such a dumb
He is.
Guy. I hate him.
This is what we were talking about before when we between last episode and now.
Yeah.
I feel like Joker, like the parallel between Joker and Oz was they're
really?
Yeah, they're trying to draw that parallel between Oz and Joker. Not Joker. Lex.
I didn't see it.
Between Lex and Ozymandias.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was very on the nose, but I didn't.
And what's his name? And Doc Manhattan and Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this is what bear with me with my conspiracy, with my theory. Because
and Batman and Rorschach.
Mm. And Batman and Rorschach.
Yeah.
Now, those three characters from Watchmen are arguably the three best characters from Watchmen. So I was actually glad that these guys came back. But pitting them against the now mainstream DC, let's say opposite numbers, put them in an interesting space for me. Because now you look at Lex and you look at Oz, and they're both megalomaniacal bad guys. They're both the supervillain trope. But Lex understands his humanity much better than
yes.
Ozymandias does.
Lex has learned not to deal with Brainiac.
Exactly. And he's learned. So he understands his shortcomings as a person. So he doesn't make the same mistake that Oz does.
Yes.
But in the same way, because Oz doesn't recognize himself as having those same human failings, even though he does, he is able to pull off these godlike things. Like having that fake alien appear in the city, which is what happened in Watchmen. Being able to pull off this entire stunt that will get Doc Manhattan back to their world. Lex would never have been able to pull off the same stunt. So, yeah. In a weird way...
Yes, Lex would not.
Yeah, in a weird that. Way, they're both each other's opposite, but they operate at two totally different levels.
See, I just couldn't see them as being parallel. For me, the only thing they had in common was literally what was on the nose, where mm-hmm. they said that he's the smartest man from our world, and I'm the smartest man from mine. That was where the similarities ended for me. I found them way too different.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Lex a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I do not find Oz likable at all.
But they see now that's the thing. Now.
I don't even find him charming. I find his cat creepy. I just
it's just smaller now. Before, imagine.
I don't like his costume. I just don't like anything about him. Man,
he's just such a weird guy. Like, I don't know. Like, when I was reading Watchmen the first time, I read it actually in three separate passes. The first time I was in love with Rorschach. The second time I was in love with Ozymandias. Then the third time is when I landed on Dr. Manhattan as being my absolute favorite character from that comic.
Yeah.
Seeing him show up here and being pitted against Superman was just my mind was blown. So I was like, how will they be able to bring... I was wondering how they'd be able to make Manhattan a villain in this story that would require Superman's intervention. They didn't make him... Okay, they made him a villain, but they made him so...
It was a very realistic version. Like, he didn't just start doing evil shit.
Yeah, he was just...
Yeah, he didn't just start... And I really like that.
Yeah.
I hate it when... Again, the trope with these crossover events. Oh, I'm a hero. Oh, I'm a hero. Oh, I don't know you. Let's fight.
Yeah.
This is every single crossover... or meeting of heroes from different places that you will see throughout DC, you will see Marvel, throughout Marvel.
Everywhere.
It is such a trope. It is stupid.
Yeah.
Like Civil War.
Yeah, that's is just complete like, BS.
If a
5-minute conversation would have stopped that entire story.
Yeah.
But now with this one, you see that...
It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
And the way it happens is very believable for those characters, except for Batman.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's, like, the way Superman and Dr. Manhattan, when they're finally clashing,
mm-hmm.
it made perfect sense.
Yeah.
It made perfect sense. When
Lex
and Oz met up, it also made perfect sense.
But when Batman and Rorschach met up, now... Just,
why?
Because you see now, everybody keeps saying that Batman should be more like Rorschach. But Rorschach was actually written...
The same Rorschach, though, is he?
No,
like he seems completely different from the Rorschach in the movie.
Yeah, and even Rorschach in the original Rorschach was a moral absolutist.
Yeah,
and he was written that way to be. He was actually.
He's more Punisher-ish or Batman-ish.
He wasn't written as a. It wasn't painted in a good light. How he was, because he was crazy. Like Rorschach is obviously crazy. It's just that now that's the thing that everybody seemed to believe that Batman should be like. He's a moral absolutist, so he should never, under any circumstances, tolerate evil. That's why Batman is Batman. That's why he's a badass. That was the whole deconstruction of that Batman idea. You have a normal guy who just believes in good and evil. And he believes to be the person who stands between good and evil.
Batman is so warped so many times. It is really frustrating.
And nothing sticks. That's the problem with Batman.
Yeah.
Nothing ever sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm sorry. I don't know. I really hope I'm not coming across as like this Batman-hating dude. But
no, I like Batman.
Yeah.
I like Batman is my favorite DC character.
Mine's Superman.
But I hate how him in current comics. I really hate him.
Mm.
And the way they have used him.
Yeah. And now you see through this, I really liked the explanation that they had of how important Superman is to DC.
And again, so in the previous episode, I was saying like how it makes sense for DC, and DC, they reference Action Comics or the Man Issue of One. The Man of Tomorrow, all these things, they're all referenced, and it makes perfect sense, like for you as the reader, and what you said about the love letter to Superman, this really was it.
Yeah,
it did. I'm not a Superman like loving fanboy, but that was really good.
Yeah,
and I feel like reading Superman.
Like, this was the Superman comic I've been waiting for. And the fact that he shows up at the end...
There's not a lot of fighting as well.
The fact that he shows up at the end is so annoying.
Yeah.
But that's what it is.
It was a good... It was not expected.
Yeah, it wasn't expected.
Like, again, your expectations for how this book will go.
Yeah, throw them at
the end. It really plays with you. Like, yeah, it's going that way. It'll probably happen that way. And then, you know, it will just not.
Yeah.
And it will not happen in a very obvious way that you just didn't see coming.
Yeah.
So, wow. Well done, the writers, for this, man. Seriously. But it was a good book.
I really, really did enjoy this book.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like now... I feel, as you know now, you after having lived through all the teasing and all the hate and all that vibe of Superman sucks and Superman this and all that, he can't hold his own movie because of Man of Steel and all that kind of stuff. And you look through this and you're like, okay, fine, I know why I'm a fan, and this is why I'll always be a fan of Superman.
Yeah, I guess if you're coming from it from that point, yeah.
Yeah. It's a cheesy thing for me. That's the reason why.
But now even if you aren't.
Yeah, even if you
aren't. It's still good. It's still really good. It's
still good, yeah.
And yeah, and the idea that we're talking about, by the way, is that the center of the DC universe or the metaverse or the... Multiverse. Basically, the center of DC's everything is around Superman.
Yeah.
Is the idea.
So if you change Superman...
That Dr. Manhattan is trying to figure out as well, which was dope.
The fact that
he experiments with that. Oh, yeah. He was just, and that's like, for example, like, I think he pushed Green Lantern, like the JSA Green Lantern's lantern, a little out of reach before he got it.
Yeah.
And so we never got Green Lantern. How that affected things. Like,
he explains.
He's playing with the timelines and... It's sort of like explained in canon because the timelines did forget about these characters at some point during one of the DC DC reboots that have happened.
Yeah.
They have ignored that these characters have existed, and it is Dr. Manhattan's fault.
Yeah. He's been basically Action Comics 1.
Dr. Manhattan ruined DC.
That blew and my mind.
It was
dude,
so good because at the start of this book, it's telling you, yes, this is why you hate DC. This is, like, literally, Dr. Manhattan is saying, oh, this is so stupid. This is why you hate DC, da-da-da-da-da. And then it just comes, they just bring it back around so well. And this is why you should like it. Like, oh,
and the
wow.
fact that he's experiencing time at the same time.
Yeah.
Constant, like, concurrently. So, yes, like, he talks
the
about...
The future, the past.
The present... Like, he'll be having a conversation. Like, his speech bubbles would be like, June 3rd, 1967.
Yeah.
And he mentioned something. Then the next panel would be August 23rd, 2033.
Yeah.
Like, he's all over the place. Yeah. And then when all that stuff comes together and you realize why it's been happening and what he's been doing.
Yeah.
It locks in the story in such a good way that... I don't know. Like, I really, really... Yeah, it's really good. It's really just really good. Really well written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So, after this stuff is resolved, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people... Oh, that firestorm thing. So, the people
I liked the Russian firestorm better than I liked the normal firestorm. He's yes. just way better designed.
Also, he looks like that guy from Boku no Hero.
Okay.
Fire and Ice guy's dad.
I was about to say Bleach. Karakura Ion Jetto.
Nah, I don't see that.
The main.
Huh?
The main. Like the hair made of fire thing.
I don't see the resemblance to Bleach.
No. There's a lion in Bleach. The time that the one of those filler episodes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nah, I'll show you later. I don't remember. Yeah. Okay.
You can cut this.
No, it's okay. We'll keep it. But that firestorm thing, mm-hmm. Where he kills all those people.
Yeah.
The story. No. Like after Dr. Manhattan fixes the timeline, mm-hmm. those people are still dead.
No.
Yes.
Oh, they are.
Because, mm-hmm. You remember like how it was like a fight at the end between Superman and all those guys, right?
The guys from the past
and
the
future. Then Dr. Manhattan fixes the timeline. Mm-hmm. Then it's like all these forgotten heroes come back to help Superman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the world kind of moves on from there. Then they decide again to disassemble, like Firestorm needs to really understand what is going on with the MetaHuman project that was with the states that was uncovered. Mm-hmm. Like all that stuff happens after.
Mm-hmm.
So based off of that, that stuff still did happen. So it doesn't reset the timeline as such. Although it stuff that happens does. With characters.
Yeah.
For example, like when they're fighting,
mm-hmm.
the timeline is that Clark's parents died in that car accident when they hit a tree, right?
Yeah. But now because Alan Scott came back. Oh my God,
and those
back,
implications were so good. Yeah. But I'm going off topic. And then his parents are alive at the end.
Yeah.
So he saved the parents, but at the same time, this stuff still sort of played out.
I don't know. I feel like maybe the world kind of fixed itself. But I don't know.
But those people are still dead. Yeah. I think those people are still dead.
Okay. It'll be.
And again, they're still deciding what to do with Kandak, like Black Adam's thing.
I really wish we get a Black Adam movie soon. Like honestly. And they go with this storyline.
I still haven't watched Shazam.
They go with this storyline. I like Shazam.
I felt like they're making him too Magneto in this book.
Yeah. He's kind of Magneto light, let me say that.
Yeah, yeah. I get that, but
no, like generally.
It was a little too on the nose in this one.
But generally, like even in his origin story and the stuff that he's been doing, he's like a Magneto light.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, that those are the stuff. Those are the stuffs.
The stuffs.
Those are the stuffs that annoyed me. But like again, the writing really really went well.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
And I think the funniest part.
Mm-hmm.
The funniest part for me in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Justice League. Let's go get Dr. Manhattan. Let's go to Mars. Let's go kick him. Let's go kick him.
Dude, you know you see that.
Exactly what you wanted to happen.
Dude, I got so excited seeing those panels again.
That was, that I felt was like the fan, the what is it? The fan service right there.
Because if I'm not wrong, that happened before in one of the crossovers.
What do you mean?
If I'm not wrong, it happened in the DC Rebirth and Dr. Manhattan showed up and that actually happened. So they're just showing you old panels of it.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it makes perfect sense.
But it was beautiful.
I was just happy when it happened, because like, they have this, you know, like, DC and Marvel, when they're about to do something heroic and there are all these like, things that happen. There's this callback to Justice League Unlimited, and the old Justice League cartoons where they have this banter on the way to do something.
Yeah,
which is going on You have the question making stupid jokes. You have like that sort of back and forth between the green. Oh, shut your mouth. Oh, hold your, you know, like blah, blah, blah. Here's Dr. Manhattan, who's like,
like, forget you guys.
And oi, wasn't the way he disintegrated people. Didn't that remind you of Infinity War?
A bit.
But he'd
been doing it. He's done it like that before.
Yeah. So he came first. It looked a little. I guess the timing from when I'm reading this is.
The thing that made me laugh the most was when Green Lantern came and punched him in the head and broke his neck. And they thought that they'd kill him. Yeah. Then he appears. appears. He regenerates himself. And he's like, that was interesting. And then he proceeds
to take... What a nice ring. What a nice ring you have.
He takes the ring, studies it, beats him down, takes out all the other lanterns, takes the magic.
Yeah, oh, the magic was hilarious. Oh, you think... Oh, you're manipulating energies and you're calling this magic.
Magic in quotes.
Oh, and then he's just like making a pentagram and he's like, oh, I like learning.
And he floors everyone.
Wow.
You know, now for me, seeing that, because you know, now everybody has been asking how would Dr. Manhattan fare against the Justice League?
Yeah, well, and this is how.
Yeah, this is how.
And this is not even...
It's not even close.
If you're a DC fanboy, I'm sorry.
Why?
No, like, DC fanboys are not gonna... They're gonna say, yeah, no, you know, Batman will do something to Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
Nah. He can't. He didn't. Yeah. Neither did the question. Neither did Supergirl.
Yeah.
Oh, but you know, Supergirl is more powerful than
Superman.
Oh, yeah, but she
but
failed.
She doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. like,
you could even argue whether Superman would have stood a chance. Obviously not.
Not, yes.
Yes, but obviously not.
Physically, yeah. If it came down to a street fight, no. But what beats Dr. Manhattan at the end isn't a fight.
Yes, yeah. It's his state of mind.
Yeah.
Well, would you say that Dr. Manhattan was beaten?
Yes.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I would say he was, because...
I would say he learned.
He did learn, but he learned the lesson the most painful way he could.
Did he?
Yeah. Because, you see, now, physical damage doesn't impact Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, but he didn't feel damaged. He felt happy.
Yeah, but this was because all of this, everything that has gone on from Watchmen through this, was him acting out. It was him not coming to grips with his role.
Well, so, yeah.
Yeah. So he didn't know what he was supposed to do. That's why he was being
on. He's acting out. I want to say that he's very believable in that he's acting out in the most passive way possible. That is just, I would say it's
dude,
really...
He's messed up a universe.
It seemed very much like for his own amusement. Like to a point where he was just genuinely curious.
I don't know.
Because he arrives not knowing where the hell he is.
Yeah.
First of all. And he's confused at the way, the differences between this universe and the one that he's from.
Yeah.
So it felt like a genuine curiosity.
Yeah.
But not genuine curiosity, filled with
let's see
with malice.
Yeah, it's not malicious.
Or with like joy even.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like curiosity for curiosity's sake.
Oh yeah, true.
Sort of, because he wasn't very invested.
Mm-hmm.
Or he pretends not to care, rather.
He says he doesn't care.
He says he doesn't care, but again, he's leaking like pictures of him and his wife all over the place. So he's pretending not to care is the way I took it.
Yeah.
And he's acting like he doesn't care. So all the stuff he does, it's with like a very passive thing. Even with the final conflict between him and Superman, he doesn't actually fight Superman.
Mm.
He's just like, you know, this is what I've seen. I don't know what happens.
I can't see.
Are you going to kill me? Are you going? Like, he says that about 10 times, and Superman's like, just shut up. Yeah. Do something, or just shut up.
That's the reason why I was saying. I imagine now the difference between now him and Superman is purpose. Superman knows what he's here to
do. Well, there are a lot of differences between the two.
But it, okay, for me, it was, I boiled that down to purpose. He knows what he's here to do.
If you found them the same, yeah.
Yeah, and he's trying to push to make the world a better place. Dr. Manhattan has more power than Superman to be able to make the world a better place. But he just doesn't have the same purpose.
Yeah.
So for him, he's not able to understand why are you so special? Why are things centering around you in the same way? And why are things coalescing around you? Why are you able to change people? Why are you able to mobilize people around you and not have everything go to ruins when you intervene?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because for him, every time he stepped in to do something, he ruins it.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was my takeaway. I'm not sure.
I really loved it.
Me too.
Just, yeah. I didn't see it that way. Huh.
Because now that was my takeaway. Because he's made a big point of not feeling his humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, he was acting out against it. That's the whole point of him running away to Mars.
Yeah.
So he was like, let me put myself away from these humans, thinking that it made him better.
Yeah.
And it didn't. He shifted universes, and it still didn't help.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really had to come around and deal with the closure of, yo, you changed forever. Whatever, all these timelines that you're seeing, you can't live in all of them. Pick one. Commit. Do something. That's why he went. I feel like maybe that's why he went home to fix
things. Would you say that Doomsday Clock is like a giant counseling session for Dr. Manhattan?
Yes. Like, yes. It's therapy.
It is, yeah.
It was his therapy.
It really does feel that way. Yeah. But that's why, I don't know. I don't think Dr. Manhattan was defeated at all.
Like, up here, in his head, he was defeated. Because now he can't hide behind now that crutch of I'm not human anymore.
Yeah, but that's not him being defeated. That's him, like, moving on, sort of. Isn't it?
It is. It is. But for the sake of
like,
the conflict...
Because, now the guy has given his powers, or he has removed himself.
He has removed himself, but he's still...
But he's turned himself into a power and put it in a kid.
Yeah.
Guess what the kid's name is? Guess.
Clock.
How brilliant is that?
Imagine I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really cute.
That was cute.
Yeah.
That was a real, real cute way to... Like, how are the Watchmen comics after this? Do you know?
No, this is it.
No,
we don't know now.
There is a Watchmen line, isn't there?
No, they said they're going to do a sequel to this.
Oh,
this is the sequel to Watchmen.
They started a new storyline. No.
This is the sequel to Watchmen. Yeah. Then now there'll be a sequel to this.
Yeah, and this I think is a good way for it. Like it is a nice way to end, and it is not the way I thought it would end.
Yeah, and it's not cheesy. It's not.
Well, it's cheesy.
The nice way.
It's a very nice kind of cheese.
It's
you know,
a mild
If you like your Parmesan, if you like your Gouda, whatever cheese you like, it is that kind of cheese.
Yeah.
It's a good cheese.
It's a good flavorful cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are the vibes from this book. What else was weird?
I would read a whole comic of Lex and Ozymandias having conversations.
Did you like the stuff when Lex was a good guy?
When he came to the Hall of Justice to talk to Lois.
When he's an actual hero. Just after the New 52?
Oh, those... No, I didn't read those. I don't know. I find it so strange. I find it strange seeing Lex as a good guy.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Like, for me, again, I'm such a huge Superman guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'll always be suspicious of Lex. That's why, for me, Smallville made such a big impact. Because from a certain point of view, he's not that bad.
I really like Lex. Yeah, I can't picture him as, like, evil for some reason.
Yeah, he's not outright evil. He's just selfish.
I can't even see him that way either. I have such a good view of Lex. I forgot what point I was trying to make by bringing that up. but I just like Lex. Compared to Ozzy, I can't.
Okay, Lex.
I can't.
Okay, Lex is more. He's better.
I wish he did more in this book, if anything.
But he did. He did put everything together.
He did stuff.
Yeah.
And he's been onto Manhattan for a while. And there was stuff as well for Batman that I know of. Like, Batman did find the comedian's pin.
Mm-hmm.
In.
And he did apologize at the end, though.
He did apologize to
Rorschach. He said, I'm sorry, my bad.
All that I should have known better. Yeah. But still. He, like, I'm pretty sure he found a comedian's pin at one point, and he was wondering what the hell this is.
Yeah.
And that was its own story at some point before they did this crossover. So, like, they should have done better, man.
The another thing that I really liked was when Oz was talking to Saturn Girl.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy, what's his name?
Alan Scott.
Oh, yeah. When he's talking to the two of them, Green Lantern. And there was that's when I was telling you, there's that not so subtle imagery of the old and the new. Mm-hmm. And these guys walking the line in between.
Mm-hmm.
So Oz at some point mentions that when Saturn Girl starts disintegrating.
Yeah,
when the timeline has been fixed and she doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling now Alan Scott, you don't worry, the past can't change. It's already happened. She's the one who's got to change.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on when Dr. Manhattan fixes the timeline, so all these guys start coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And all the current heroes are on one side. Black Adam, all the edgy guys, all the Black Adam, all the Russian dudes, and all those on one side.
Yeah.
And then Superman and the old
Superman's
and then,
in the middle.
Yeah, and the old and the new characters are on the other side. And Dr. Manhattan is in the middle doing nothing. I really liked
that. That was a good, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are really, really well done panels.
And there was a thing I'd been told before about the way Alan Moore did Watchmen, if it's actually really designed to be read as a physical book. If you read it as an ebook or like the way we get comics digitally, You don't see the symmetry that is inherent in the book. Because it's a 9-panel book. It has a 9-panel pages, like the original Watchmen. So 3-3-3. But the way there are pages that are literal mirrors of one another. So when you open a page, when you open two pages, the way the story progresses on one side, it progresses in reverse on the other side. Or in a couple of pages.
Did this do that?
This, I feel like this did that, but maybe we just couldn't see it because of the format that we're reading it in. That's why I want to go and compare it with a physical copy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Because I feel like maybe
that would be cool. That would be cool.
Because I feel like maybe there's a couple. Because you see now in Watchmen, there's little notes that are pointed out like that through the symmetry. This too, because of that whole theme of balance of the old, the new, the old, the new, the old, the new. I feel like there was something that maybe we were missing because we were reading it digitally. But I'll check and I'll confirm.
Yeah.
In a later episode.
It's still good even if you don't get
it. Even if you don't get it.
But that's just something that would make it cooler if it was there. Yeah, what a good book, man.
This was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually liked this. I'll actually reread this at now.
Okay, I didn't like it that much.
No, I'll reread it at a slower pace because before I went through it in a day the first time.
Yeah.
So everything just came crashing down. Like you go through that whole feeling of realization and then understanding and then the book ends. And this was designed to be read over months.
Yeah. The release schedule was something like a book a month.
So you read, you're supposed to read and digest. You read and digest. Look for all those details. Go through the dossiers. Go through the background
and look stuff. For hints. Yeah.
Look for hints. Figure. Now you're at that point, you're supposed to now speculate what's going to happen in the next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they did that really well, yeah.
Yeah. Especially so I'll go back and yeah. I want to go back and go through it now, maybe slower.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now look for all the little details that maybe we missed the first time.
Okay, fair.
Mm. But then
I don't have the patience.
I'm a huge fan of Watchmen and Superman. So this for me this is just
this is your ideal. Yeah,
this is my idea of fun.
Fair.
Yeah.
Has your rating changed?
No.
Still a
hard 9 for me. Still okay. A strong 9.
All right.
Yeah. And I'm about to go now start recommending it to everyone I know.
Yeah, it's quite good.
Yeah.
Anyways, guys, so is that it?
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, so check that out.
Please, recommend it to anyone that you know.
Just, yeah. Blindly. It's good. It's a bit wordy. It's worth it. Mm. Check it out.
Have fun.
And next time, we'll be watching High Score Girl. Yes. H-I,
High. Score Girl.
Yeah, Score Girl. It's on Netflix. It's an anime. It's my pick. I hope it's good.
It'll be fun.
It'll be weird change coming from a story like this. It's okay.
It starts with Street Fighter. It can't not be good.
Let's see.
It can't not be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, it can. But we'll see.
Okay.
And yeah, we'll probably do House of Chains as well before then.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Catch you guys later.
Bye. I've been Hell's Knight.
I'm Hilary Tukitu.
Yeah. See ya.
See ya.
Do you have an opinion on what we just discussed? Did we miss something? Tell us in the comments section and we'll read it in the next episode. If you're listening on Anchor, send us a voice message and we'll add it to this episode. Don't forget to follow our podcast on Twitter, @SpoilFans for updates. And follow our Instagram for behind the scenes action, @SpoilersAndFandom. Also, subscribe to us on YouTube and Anchor to get the latest episodes.